It has become a custom for me at some time during the High Holy Days to tell a story. Kind of like a bedtime story. Usually I choose this night, Erev Rosh Hashanah, for it serves as a gentle, even meditative way to usher in this powerful season. And so, a story. There was an officer of the law, a recent graduate, proud as you can imagine. In his uniform of blue was brass buttons. He wore a hat with a plume, and his sword was gold with an ivory handle. He was as pompous as could be. He was arrogant and cold and callous. One day he was walking. He was walking his beat, and he heard a commotion in the alley. He ventured into the darkness, and there in the distance he saw a man in rags. "Come forward," he commanded. "Come forward now." But the man in rags did not come forward. "I am an officer of the law, and I command you to come forward." The man in rags did not move. He shifted his weight from one foot to the other, and then he spoke. The man in rags said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with you." "Do with me?" the officer of the law mocked. "Do with me? You don't do with me. I do with you. I am an officer of the law, and I command you to come forward." "Now I know what to do with you," the man in rags said. And as he spoke, he drew his sword. "Now I know what to do with you." And without further word, he moved to attack. Well, the officer of the law drew his own sword in defense. "Stop that," he ordered. "Put your sword down right now." But the man in rags did not stop. The officer of the Lord tried to intimidate him by thrusting his sword forward. But to no avail, the officer of the law was forced to retreat. When it seemed the man in rags would prevail, he lowered his guard. And the officer of the law again, for the purpose of intimidation, thrust his sword forward. But this time, accidentally, he ran his sword right through the man in rags. "Oh no, I didn't mean to do that," the officer of the law said. "I didn't want to hurt you. Why didn't you stop when I ordered you to? Why'd you attack me?" The man in rags waved the words away. "I'm leaving you," he said, "and as I do, I put upon you the curse of blessings." "What do you mean?" asked the officer of the law, now quite confused. "The curse of blessings. Every day you must say a new blessing, one you have never said before. On the day you do not say a new blessing, on that day you will die." The man in rags closed his eyes. The officer of the law looked about for help. There was no help to be found. When he turned back, the man in rags had disappeared. He was gone. "It was a dream," the officer said. "Only a dream. I imagined it." Well, the time was late in the afternoon. The sun was setting, and as much as the officer of the law tried to ignore his experience, he couldn't. Now, as we know, the Jewish day ends with the sunset. The officer of the law felt his body growing cold and knew from the chill that his life was leaving him. In a panic, he uttered these words of blessing. "Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, who has created such a beautiful sunset." At once, warmth. Warmth and life, it flowed back into him. He realized with both shock and relief that the curse had been for real. So the next morning, he did not delay. He woke up with words of blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, that you allowed me to wake up this morning. His life felt secure for the entire day. The next morning, he blessed his ability to rise from bed. The following day, that he could tie his shoes. Day after day, he found abilities he could bless. That he could go to the bathroom. That he had teeth to brush. Each finger of his hand still worked. That he had toes on his feet and hair on his head. He blessed his clothes, every garment. He blessed his house, the roof, the floor, the furniture, the tables, the chairs, everything. At last, he ran out of things to bless, so he began to bless relationships. He blessed his family and his friends, fellow workers, those who worked for him. He blessed the mailman and the clerks, the grocery store people. He was surprised to find that they appreciated his blessings. He realized that his words had power. They drew family and friends closer to him. In fact, word spread around town that the officer of the law was a source of blessing. So years passed, decades. The officer of the law had to go farther afield to find new sources of blessing. He blessed city councils, university buildings, scientists and their discoveries. And as he traveled through the world, he became in awe of its balance. Not just its balance, its beauty too. And he blessed that. He blessed balance and beauty. The more he learned, the more he had to bless. His life was long, and he had the opportunity to learn many fields. He passed the age of 100. Most of his friends were long gone. His time was relegated to searching for the purpose in his life and the one source from which all blessings flow. He had long since realized that he was not the source of blessings, but rather simply the conduit for those blessings. And even that realization welcomed the blessing. And it sustained him for yet another day. And as he approached the age of 120, this, the age that so many from the Torah lived, Moses himself, he considered that his life was long enough. Even Moses hadn't lived longer than 120, so why should he? On his birthday, he made the conscious decision to utter no new blessing and to allow his life to come to an end. Still, he realized that he could recite some old blessings. And so throughout the day, he reviewed them, all the blessings for his body and his possessions, for his relationships, that had spread throughout the world, for the awesome beauty and balance of creation, and for the deep resonance, the pulse of purpose that pervaded his very being. But no new blessing passed his lips, only old ones. So as the sun was setting, a chill progressed inward from his extremities. He didn't resist it, though. In the twilight, a figure appeared. It was the man in rags. "You," the officer of the law exclaimed, "I have thought about you every single day for the last 100 years. I never meant to harm you. Please forgive me." "You don't understand," said the man in rags. "You don't know who I am, do you? I am the angel who was sent 100 years ago to harvest your soul. But when I looked at you, so pompous and proud and callous, there was nothing to harvest." An empty uniform was all I saw, so I put upon you the curse of blessings. And now, look what you have become. The officer of the law grasped in an instant all that had happened and why. And overwhelmed, he said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, for giving me life and for sustaining me and for enabling me to reach this moment. I now understand. Now look what you've done, the man in rags said. A new blessing. Life flowed back into the officer of the law, and those two men looked at each other, neither of them knowing quite what to do. So my friends, in years past, I might have taken a story, unpacked it, and talked about the various messages and metaphors within the story. But this story is different to me because it's not calling out to me to explain what the man in rags represents or what the officer of the law represents or what the blessings represents or what his life represents. For me, this story has one very simple message. Just one, and very simple. Still most fundamental and essential. My friends, we have a choice. We can choose to be pompous and callous and thoughtless. We can choose to go through life with a sense of entitlement. We can choose to go through life regularly thinking about what we deserve or how people should talk to us or what we want or what feels good to us. This is the way so many people operate. Never thinking about what we can give, only thinking about what we should be given. Or we can choose to lead our lives with a sense of gratitude, a sense of appreciation. While the story spoke of gratitude to God for all the wonderful things the officer of the law noticed, in our lives, gratitude need not merely be directed to God. Most certainly, gratitude can be directed to our fellow man and woman as well. This is exactly the message of the Torah portion we will read next week on Yom Kippur. You know what it says? It says, I have placed before you this day life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. The Torah is teaching us that we can choose how it is that we will lead our lives. We can lead our lives with narcissism and entitlement, or we can choose to lead our lives with humility and gratitude. You know, it's always easy to identify when another person is acting thoughtlessly or callously or selfishly. It's always easy to identify when we have been insulted by another person's behavior. But today is Rosh Hashanah, our new year, the day on which weeks can inch closer to the people we want to be, to the dreams for our higher selves. And so on this day, I encourage you, no, I challenge you, to look inward. Our tradition demands of it on this day. Look inward and ask yourself if you lead your life with a sense of gratitude. And if not, maybe you should consider uttering a daily blessing as well. You know, I think one of my favorite parts of the story is how at some point the officer of the law became more keenly aware of even the smallest blessings in his life. From the scientists at the universities to each individual toe on his foot, they were all blessings to him. By saying a new blessing every single day, he began to notice the great many blessings in his life. These blessings that he had so cavalierly ignored up until that point. Does that not seem like a challenge to us as well? Should we not also strive to appreciate the many blessings in our lives that we take for granted? If this isn't reason enough, then do it because of the health benefits. Study after study has shown that people who lead a life of gratitude are generally happier, less stressed, less depressed, and more satisfied with their lives. And there are other studies which directly claim that gratitude not only leads to a life of greater quality, but indeed actually leads to a life of greater quantity. That if you lead your life with gratitude, that you actually live longer. I told you this message was simple. Simple yet fundamental and essential. Still, I know that simple tasks are not that easy. So, enter our tradition. Do you know that Judaism provides blessings for so much more than wine and candles and challah? When we hear thunder, there's a blessing. When we see a rainbow, there's a blessing. When we see the ocean, there's a blessing. When we smell a flower, there's a blessing. When a tree blossoms in the spring, there's a blessing. When we're in the presence of a scholar, there's a blessing. If by chance we were to bump into Governor Martin O'Malley, there's a blessing. And listen to this. If he is wearing cologne that you like, there is a blessing for his cologne too. I'm not kidding. Blessing for smells. These are just a handful of the blessings, the numerous blessings that our heritage has to offer us. And perhaps the reason we have so many blessings is that our tradition begs of us to lead our lives with gratitude, to recognize that our possessions are not ours alone. And so, my friends, let today, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, be the day that you take on not the curse of blessings, but the joy of blessings. Challenge yourself to notice both the big and the small blessings in your life. It seems so obvious, but it is so important. And when you notice the blessing, say a blessing. You don't need to know the actual words or formula in order for a blessing to be efficacious. Try this one for size. Baruch Ata Adonai, fill in the blank. See where it takes you. And so I offer you this one. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehechianu V'Kiyamanu V'Higianu Lazman Hazeh. Praise you, Adonai, our God, for giving us life and for sustaining us and for enabling us to join together as a holy community this time. Amen.